Amen. Well, it's good to be here again.
Amen.
And look at that. We survived another night on Beale Street.
Amen.
I know Brother Camilleri, I know the pressure on him when he's getting ready to lead it in there. You know, you feel the pressure when you have to do something, you know, when you got to lead it. And I know the pressure was on, but once you got there, it all melted, didn't it?
Amen.
Wasn't 5 minutes, it was over, wasn't it?
Amen.
The victory was already there.
Amen.
It was already open for us down there.
Right.
That's a real blessing. You know that? It's great to be back here again and get to preach to you again. I appreciate the opportunity. I don't take it lightly. And it's always a blessing to be able to preach. I want to introduce a friend of mine out of my church, Andy Phillips. Stand up there. There's Andy Phillips, young guy in my church. Going to graduate of Bible school. Going to be called into evangelism here. Getting ready to go out by a step of faith here this summer in evangelism. If any of you pastors out there are looking for a young man that can preach and help your church, got a good heart for the Lord, and he's trying to get started. So, you know how it is when you first step into something like that. It's not an easy thing. So, spread the word, Andy Phillips. He's got some prayer cards there. You have any with you? Get a prayer card from him and be a blessing to him. They got Sid White back there. Stand up a minute, Sid. If you never met him, there's a missionary to Israel right there out of our church and doing a good work over there. You talk about the front lines now. Israel's the front lines. I mean, it's not like Beale Street, but it's like Beale Street every day. When you walk out your door, you might not get hit by a beer. You might get hit by flak. I'm serious.
Yeah.
And the satanic pressure in Israel is overwhelming. And the attack on the whites is oppressive. Appreciate your prayers for the whites. And they're gearing back up to make another run of it. And we trust the Lord's going to do a great work over there in Israel. He's got all the prayers of all the saints from all time. How about that? He's got the prayers of all the disciples, all the prophets from the Old Testament that cared for the Jews. He's got all those prayers.
Glory to God.
Those prayers are yea and amen in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They're already settled in heaven. He's got those prayers. But he needs our current prayers. Amen. Need our current prayers. And we have prayers too from the saints all through history to get to this point here today, don't we? We've got the saints' prayers. We've got the Lord's prayers. We've got Paul's prayers right there in Scripture. They're for us. Amen. And they're to be taken and they're to be prayed and they're to be claimed to get through. And we're going to need them all till we get through this. If the Lord tarries much longer. All right, I'll preach a message here. I was trying to think of what's... I had the blessing of carrying the pole that Brother Lansing devised that had the big loudspeaker on it last night to lead the parade. That was a blessing, amen. And I didn't get to do much witnessing or anything, but I got to stand there and I got to see each preacher stand up and preach. And it's interesting how you see each preacher different. And my favorite was the Dutchman there, whatever his name is. And what's your name there?
Norwegian.
Norwegian. What's your name?
Peter.
What is it?
Peter.
Give us a little bit of what you did last night. Stand up there once. Give a little give a little of that. Come on. show them your spirit, man.
Like a preacher do that there?
Yeah.
Ah! Hey, you're gonna wake up! Oh yeah.
That's it. That's what he was doing. And you know what? People were looking. They were looking, man. That brought some drunks right out of the crowd right there. Well, Son Love had his hands full, didn't he? They started to come in on him. And I enjoyed all the preachers and got to hear the different styles. You know, I like to hear the different kind of preachers, and every one of them's different. Even the kids that got up, you know, they all had something to say, and especially the kids is a blessing. And Brother Patterson's the only one that didn't need the ladder, and he didn't even need the microphone. And he's always impressive on the street. He's got an impressive voice. And Nico, you know, is a little rough because of the European slant there, you know, the accent, hard to hear. My main problem with the blast is I feel sometimes that the microphone thing just is not so effective as it could be. You know, there's just so much noise.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the preaching is, it's staticky and it doesn't come through clear and people complain and say, they just yell and we can't even hear you. You you know. But, you know, that's because of the war. And my dad went through World War II, and he told me one of the most discouraging things in war is the noise of the battle. And a lot of times, a GI would find himself in a grunt hole in a fetal position, just crying out to mama because of the noise. And that's all part of the devil's trick down there, is to discourage you through that noise. And we do the best that we can do, amen. And don't think something wasn't done. Whether they heard the actual words or not, they knew that we were there.
Amen.
Sure did. Thank you, Lord.
And it's worth it. That's what I want to preach about today. I think the Lord laid this message on my heart for this meeting. I asked Him to give me something for this meeting. I want to preach a message on closet Christians called Out of the Closet. Out of the Closet. Let's see. I want to ask somebody to pray for me here, brother. Joe left. Camera Larry left. Oh, here you are. Pray for me, will you, Joe?
Father, we thank you for this day, and thank you for being able to get up this morning and breathe air and see and hear and stand on our feet. Lord, you're still in one piece after last night. And I'm not visible this morning, and I hate tonight this morning, and headache this morning.
Amen. Well, you know, I'm an acrostic preacher, and what that means, my messages always spell a word. That's just my thing for the young and for the young at heart, okay? And so my message is going to be on the closet, okay? Closet Christians, out of the closet. Aren't you glad you came out of the closet?
Amen.
You know, there's three verses in Scripture. We're going to look at all three of them on closet today. But aren't you glad you came out of the closet? And that's what this message is about today. And you know, there's a lot of things, a lot of people are out of the closet today. And the saying is, the queers are out of the closet. They are. You know, 50 years ago, the queers weren't rampant like they are. They weren't strutting their stuff like they are today, man. They're out of the closet. And I'll tell you who else is out of the closet today. The Muslims are out of the closet. They came out of just the last 10 years, they came out of the closet here in the United States. I mean, since 9/11, they came out of the closet here in the United States. Now we have a guy running for president who had a Muslim daddy, who's one of the most liberal know-nothings there is. And there's a pretty good chance he could be on the presidential ticket. Okay, they're out of the closet. The queers, the Muslims, the heathen are out of the closet. The partiers are out of the closet, amen. The whole thing is beginning to come around to where it says in Romans 1 where God gave them over. And we're seeing that before our very eyes. And the problem with that is, while they're coming out of the closet, the church is going in the closet. They're coming out, and the church is going in. Now, I want to show you that. Look over in Luke 12. Luke 12, the first place it's mentioned. Three places of closets mentioned in Scripture. Luke 12 and verse 3. We'll read down through here. I want to show you what else is coming out of the closet here soon. And like, I think it was Brother, who was that said that here? The main problem they have on the street is the Christians. They're coming out of the closet soon. But right now, Christianity is in the closet. They're not supposed to be, amen? But they're in there. And here's what's going on. It says, in the meantime, when there were gathered together, Luke 12, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Amen. And then look at the context. Verse 4, I say unto you and my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body. After that, have no more that they can do. Amen. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about the Pharisees in the closet plot to kill him. And that's where the apostate church is today. They're in the closet plotting how they can kill Christians. They don't like you out there. They don't like you out of the closet, Christians. The world doesn't want you out of the closet. Satan doesn't want you out of the closet. Queers don't want you out of the closet. Muslims don't want you out of the closet. Backslidden Christians don't want you out of the closet. They want you just to get back in there and shut up. Aren't you glad you came out? Aren't you glad you came out of the closet? Now every year when I come to this meeting, I look around, you know, when I'm down here, and I know there's some people here today that they're out of the closet. They came out here to the meeting. That's a big step. You know, just to be in a Bible-believing church is a big step today. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're out of the closet on your own, amen? I mean, you could be here today, you could be at that meeting, you could be down there last night in line, marching along, but you're still in the closet. There's some things that you really haven't given over yet to the Lord, and you haven't surrendered, you haven't really taken that full step of faith to come out of the closet on your own and stand as a Christian. That's what this message is about. Trying to help you today to come out of the closet. But I say the church, the Laodicean church is in the closet, and they're plotting on how they can keep anybody who wants to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ this day, keep him silent. Put him back in so they don't look bad, amen. That's what's going on there in Jesus Christ's day there in Luke 12. He talked about it, the Pharisees. Okay. Secondly, I'll look back here in Matthew 6. Now the problem is when we come out of the closet, you make your attempt to come out of the closet as a Christian, you find out that there's a real battle going on.
Right.
And you take your first steps out of the closet and you run into some opposition. And the tendency is to go right back in the closet. Let me ask you a question here this morning. What's in your closet anyways? You know, what's in that closet of yours? Got any skeletons in there? That's the old saying, you know. We got skeletons in the closet. I've got some skeletons in my closet. Let me tell you something about my closet at home. I've got one of the worst closets in the world. You ask my wife, she'll say amen to that back there. We live in a double-wide trailer. We got about a 15-foot-long closet in our bedroom, and it's got a regular 24-inch door. Yeah. You know, most closets have a sliding door where you can open the thing up and you can reach back into the back. And a lot of people have walking closets. Ours is no walking closet. You can't even crawl in our closet. We've got so much stuff in there. What we do every year when the winter comes, we move all the winter stuff to the very front. And we move all the summer stuff to the back in the back area. You know, you got to do the whole closet twice a year just so you can reach your shirt to put on. What you got in your closet? I got a lot of stuff in my closet. And I was thinking about that. I got a bunch of old sports stuff in there from years ago when I used to play a lot of sports, you know, and I gave that up for Christ. It's still in there, you know. Every once in a while, I root through the closet. I'll dig in there. I'll find my old sport bag in there, and I'll find an old softball that I used to play ball. I have a new one in there still, and I still had my glove in there, and I have a old racquetball racket in there, you know. And if I dig around, there's no telling what I might find in my closet, but you know what? You hang around your closet too long, you're liable to get one of those things out and start messing with it again. And that's what the Christians are doing. See, they're back in their closets. They look back. See, they put their hand to the plow, then they look back. And they look back and they saw the leaks in the softballs, and they said, hey, it was pretty nice back there. And they went back in the closet, amen. What's in your closet this morning? Some of those things, you know, there's some clothes in there that I wouldn't wear today that I used to wear. When I used to think that I was cool, you know, there's still some old remnants in there. I try to use them for waxing cars and stuff now, you know, but there's always a few things lingering around in your closet to remind you of the way it used to be before you got saved to try to draw you back. You stay in the closet too long. You might pick one of those old shirts up and put it on, you know, sleeveless or something. Show your 24-year-old muscles. But What's in your closet this morning? And those things that are in your closet, they can keep you from coming out of the closet for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I was sure glad to see those people down, you people down there last night. And you know, I was thinking that if the church itself would do what this meeting does on a regular basis, something could get done in America.
Amen.
But I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, this is a meeting that happens only several places at times a year. And after that, this kind of thing doesn't happen that much. Amen. This is how the local church should be.
Amen.
The reason we get along so well here at the Beale Street Blast is because we don't have to hang around each other very long before we start to fight. We all meet for a couple days. We have a good time of fellowship. We don't do any politicking, and we get out of here before somebody starts to fight and scrap. But if you're in a local church, it doesn't work that way anymore. So praise the Lord that there's at least some people out of the closet this morning. Now I want to show you here in Matthew 6. We'll get to the message here. Matthew 6 and verse 6. We'll go with verse 5. It says, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So we're commanded as Christians to go into the closet. But we're commanded to come out. We're expected to come out.
Amen.
And when we go in, here's the battle, and you know the battle. The battle is when you come out of the closet, immediately you're going to face some kind of persecution. You're going to face some kind of opposition. And you're going to find that you cannot come out of the closet on your own. You can't stand on your own. So the Lord tells you to go into your closet. Amen. He tells you to put some things on in the closet. That's what I want to talk about today. How to come out of the closet as a Christian. How to be a real Christian, closet Christian. Well, the truth is you have to spend a lot of time in your closet if you survive out there outside the camp.
Amen.
You got to learn to spend some time in the closet.
Amen.
Give you a few things here this morning about that. Number one, you go into your closet. You shouldn't come out until you're clothed.
Amen. Oh goodness.
We could stop right there, couldn't we?
Yeah.
in God's humility.
Amen.
Need to be clothed in God's humility.
Amen.
What's that make you? That makes you committed to serve.
Yes, sir. Huh?
If you're clothed in God's humility. Now, you go down on Beale Street, if you have any pride left in you, you won't do very well.
Right.
You need to go into that closet and put Christ on.
Amen.
And put His humility on to go down there. I've been humbled on Beale Street a few times. I look back at some of my favorite experiences down on Beale Street. One happened the first year I was down there. I think it was the first year. I met the Bull of Beale Street. I was down there, and we were down at the end of the Beale Street there, and I was preaching, and I thought I had a bunch of other Christians around me, you know, and the Lord was testing me out, and he just kind of, everybody just disappeared, you know. Jack Patterson was down there 1 minute, and I looked around, he wasn't there anymore. And I was standing there preaching at this rock group that was singing there, and they were blasting away, and every time they'd stop, I'd preach. And every time they'd pause, I'd preach. And I went on for about 20 minutes or so, and I looked around, there wasn't anybody around, none of my help was here anymore. And all of a sudden, the Bull of Beale Street came out. He was a raging, bald-headed, muscle-bound, tattooed, nose-pierced, wild man. Came out of the bar, right, and he charged up to me. You know, I'm looking around for help, and there's no help except in the Lord. You know, I stood there, and he got my face right here. You know, I saw the nose jewel on his there, and I thought like maybe I could, you know, pull my finger, you know, and pull him down or something, but I didn't, you know, and he tried to shake me up, told me I shouldn't be doing that. I said, well, I'm going to preach anyways. And I started to preach. He said, you quit yelling in my face. I said, then move your face out of the way, you know, but I'll tell you what, it was a little bit humiliating. It was a little bit, it was a little bit scary for me. When I first looked up and realized there was nobody else around that was going to protect me, and I had to be prepared myself if I was going to make it, amen. I was out of the closet, but was I going to stay out? Was I going to stay out of the closet? And it was only God's humility that kept me there. I had committed to serve. I had committed to preach down there. And no matter what that guy said, I knew I had to stand my ground and preach, and I did. And eventually he went away.
Amen.
He went away. But I say to you today, what I'm trying to show you is if you're going to make it in this day in which we live as a Philadelphia Christian, you're going to have to spend some time in the closet. Amen. Secondly, I'll say this. You need to be loosed by God's mercy. You need to be loosed by God's mercy. What I mean by that is you can't go down on Beale Street and have sin in your heart. Amen? I mean, this is a message that you probably already heard here at this meeting, but this is what the Lord gave me to preach to you here today. But you need to be loosed by God's mercy. You need to make sure you spend every day in that closet and you don't come out till you're clean, till the mercy's been applied. Because if you go down there with sin on you, you're in trouble.
That's right.
You're not clothed right if you go down there like that. The second humiliating thing that happened to me down on Beale Street was the time I was down there, and it was a Saturday afternoon like today. We're going down again, and I was holding the banner there by a bar, I was just standing there holding the banner at the bar, you know, and these people were looking at me, you know, and this lady that was selling liquor right there, she said, get out of here, you know, get out of here. I said, no, I'm just going to stand right here. I have a right to stand here. And because she said that, I said, I'm going to stand here even longer. And so I just kept standing there, you know, and showed him his banner. It was a pretty profound banner. And so she went in the bar, and she sends these people out after me. And out comes this 6'5 black guy, skinny guy, you know, but he comes out and starts to harass me to leave, you know, but I already said in my heart I wasn't going to leave. I said, I'm just going to stand here. Okay, I'm just going to stand here and hold this banner. Well, she sent this big black guy out, then she sent another black guy out, then she sent a white man out, and they came out there and tried to scare me, tried to make me leave, but I wasn't leaving, amen. Well, finally, she sent this little street urchin lady out. It looked like a basket case of a woman, you know, really terrible. Down on her luck, you know, really bad. And she comes out there, and she comes around me, and she's looking at me like this. And I thought, well, I got this thing beat now, you know. And I'm looking at her, and she sees my coat, and I had my dad's old coat on, and it had the colors of the rainbow on there. He was a graphics artist. He worked for a graphics design company. And she said, she looked at that thing, and she said, he's wearing the queer colors. And she ran into the bar and told everybody I was wearing the queer colors because I had my dad's old, he's not a queer, but it had just the rainbow graphics on there, you know. And I what could I do? What could I do? I couldn't leave, so I had to stand there. I tell you what, it was a little bit humiliating because once they applied that to the queers, you know, I was stuck, you know. I tried to cover it and stuff, you know, but they came out, they were pulling at it, you know, and looking at it, and they were dancing around, they were mocking at me and stuff, you know. I had to stand there and take it. But the truth is, you gotta be loosed by God's mercy in the prayer closet. You gotta go in there and you gotta leave your past behind.
Amen.
I got rid of that coat, you know. I went home. My wife took the coat and pulled all the color out of the rainbow, you know. And then I finally got me a real jacket back there to wear, you know. It has scripture on it. Hey, don't go down there with. I had one of those ties that the guys sell. It says men in, you know, has one of those men in black, you know. Man with a mission. Man on a mission. I will wear that down there. Blues Brother thing? Not me. I won't wear that down there. I learned my lesson, amen. You got to go down there prepared. You better go down there prepared. And you better leave your past behind, Christian, if you want to come out of the closet and stay out of it.
That's right.
Right.
You better get in the closet. You better apply God's blood on a daily basis and be loosed.
Amen.
You're going to make it. Thirdly, I'll say this. You need to be overwhelmed by God's presence.
Amen.
Overwhelmed by God's presence. How long has it been since you felt like this, Christian? Overwhelmed by God's presence. You spent any time in the Lord, in the closet with the Lord until you felt the presence of God, till you felt His forgiveness, till you felt clean, till you felt clear again, till you know the power of God in your life, then you'll survive out of the closet that way. But if you're not clean and you're not clear and God's presence is not with you, it won't be long. You'll be stuck in Laodicea back with the others. Amen. When you're overwhelmed by God's presence, then you'll be offered to God. You'll be able to offer yourself at God's altar. When you realize the power of God, when you realize His presence, like His presence was there last night for us. It was obvious last night. And it's great to be part of that, amen. But how about on a daily basis, on your own, out of the closet, overwhelmed by God's presence? That's what a real closet Christian does. He doesn't come out till he knows God's with him. Fourthly, I'll say this quickly. He's saturated in God's Word. Saturated in God's Word. How you gonna stay out of the closet if you don't stay in His Word? Okay. I don't think you can. And I'll tell you what, we're in pretty bad shape as Bible believing Christians. We really don't know enough Bible.
Amen. Amen.
We don't know enough. And there's a whole lot of Bible to learn. There's a whole lot of Bible to memorize. And there's a whole lot of promises to claim. And if you don't know those promises, you can't claim it. I'll show you a couple. Look back in Proverbs 37. Psalms 37. Just an example of a couple of the promises in the Scriptures. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. Well, there's a promise. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed.
Amen.
There's a promise.
Amen.
You can claim that promise. That promise is already written down in heaven. If you'll delight yourself in the Lord and trust in the Lord and do good, you'll dwell in the land and you'll be fed. Look at verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So the question is, how do you delight yourself in the Lord? That's the question. Well, that's what you got to search out in Scripture. That's why you got to study the Scripture. Well, it tells you about how to delight yourself in the Lord by delighting in His Sabbath. It says you don't do anything of your own on the Sabbath day. On the Lord's day, you delight yourself in the Lord's day. That's delighting thyself in the ways of the Lord. But if you won't delight yourself on the Sabbath, if you want to do your own thing on the Sabbath,
that's right.
You say, well, that's just Old Testament. No, that's not Old Testament. It is in the Old Testament, but that's not just Old Testament. The application's for us.
Amen.
You know, in the old days, not too long ago, the blue laws were in effect. You couldn't even go to a store on Sunday.
Amen.
Well, the blue laws are out. But God's Word hasn't changed.
Amen.
And if you're gonna try to get the promises of God, you're going to have to obey His Word. You're going to have to learn what it means to delight thyself in the Lord.
Amen.
That's not for everybody. You want the desires of your heart, delight yourself in the Lord. So just study it out. Study what He says about the Sabbath. I think it's over there in, where is that, Andy? Ezekiel?
Isaiah 58.
Yeah, take a look at that. Just an example. There it is, verse 13. Isaiah 58:13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, call the Sabbath a delight, there's your delight yourself in the Lord. The holy of the Lord, honorable, shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. There it is. You want the promise, you've got to fulfill the condition. And we know we know it's the Lord's day, but the Lord hasn't changed in that. That's just a quick example of the fact that we need to be saturated in God's Word. Because if you're not, you won't be sharp enough when the attack comes out there.
Yeah.
I'll give you one more. How about this verse over here in Ephesians where it talks about speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs?
Amen.
Right? Is that how you start your services? Is that how your church? Is that how you start your services? With psalms? That's the order. That's the proper order. The Laodicean church never sings psalms.
Yeah, amen.
They have little things that aren't even, they're not hymns.
Yeah.
Amen. They might be, they're probably not even falling the category of spiritual songs.
Amen.
But the song service is so important, amen, to drive out the bad spirits in the church to prepare the preaching. And the proper order is psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So you find a psalm to sing like Patch the Pirate. You know, unto thee, O Lord, will I lift up my voice. Unto thee, O Lord, will I lift up my voice. O my Lord, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. That's a psalm. Now why is that so important? Because that's literally God's word that you're singing back to him, and he told you that was the proper order. That's just a couple examples of how you need to be saturated in God's word, amen. That's just simple Bible believing. But we won't do it. And that's why the church is in the closet. We left all those old paths. See? Well, get back to the old paths.
Amen.
And come out of the closet. Here's a good verse to pray for yourself if you're out of the closet. Teach my hands the war. You say David prayed that. Why don't you pray?
Amen.
Teach my hands the war. You're in war, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, teach my hands the war, Lord. And the thing is learn to pray the prayers that God has written in his scriptures. Don't pray your own prayers. Well, you can, but I mean, pray the prayers that God's already given you. Like what Paul prayed, fill me with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, Lord. Paul said, I pray that for you. Why don't you pray it? Amen? Saturate yourself in God's word. Fifthly, I'll say this quickly here. a good closet Christian is going to be equipped with God's armor. Equipped with God's armor. When you went down there last night, did you have all your armor on? You think you're going to survive without it? We know what it is in Ephesians 6, but do you put it on? Do you keep it on? How are you going to stay out of the closet if you don't? How are you going to do that? Listen, equipped with God's armor, you'll escape the tempter's snares in no other way.
Amen.
You better put them on, Christian. And let me say this here too. When you come to church, you don't put your armor on to come to church.
Yeah.
Put your coat of charity on to come to church.
Yeah.
you don't come to church to do battle with people.
Amen.
The battle's outside the camp. That's when you put your armor on. the church is full of people that have their own, they come to church armed for battle. Church is where you worship and you help each other. Amen. You love each other. I remember Brother Galliano was just in my church. He preached a real simple, clear message. And it was this: forgive, forget, and be fruitful. Very interesting. And very important. Because you're going to be out of the closet, you're going to have to forget, and you're going to have to forgive if you're going to be fruitful. You can't take it down on the street if you have that bitterness in your heart. You better get it out. You better take your armor off when you come to church. Put your coat of charity on. Finally, I'll say this morning. You come out of the closet tempered by God's love.
Yes, sir.
Tempered by His love. I mean, why should we love those people? Well, because God loved us.
Amen.
The love of Christ constrains us. So a real closet Christian, see, he knows he's going to have to go into his closet. He's going to have to put these things on here. He's going to have to take care of this on a daily basis so that he can come back out and stay out of the closet. Amen. And it's work, people. It's not a simple thing. It's not an easy thing to be a Christian. How many found that out? Yeah, it's not easy, this fight we're in. And we have to take serious what the Lord has to say about it. Okay, let's look at one more verse. Look at Joel 2. Joel 2. Here's the last verse. Joel 2 and verse 16. We'll go with verse 15. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Joel 2, verse 15. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet.
Amen. Good.
What the Lord's saying there, he's saying, go forth out of the closet, bride. Verse 17, let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? And he's telling the church there, I believe the church is in type right there, and I believe that you might even say there, that might be what the bride of Christ is doing in heaven right now. I think the bride of Christ is probably in the closet waiting for the Lord. And that bride of Christ, the bride of Christ triumphant, the Christians that have already gone before, they're already in heaven, amen. They're not coming out of the closet till the Lord takes them as his bride. That's not us, though. We're supposed to be out of the closet. We're supposed to be out of the closet. And the love of Christ will constrain us to come out. And the Lord tells us right there, he says, let the bride go forth out of her closet. I'm always amazed every year when I come down here that this is still going on. And if the Lord tarries, I believe the Lord will have it again next year. But I know this, we're getting weaker as a body. Amen. Of Christ. We're getting weaker.
Right.
And those that are out of the closet against us are getting stronger.
Yeah.
And we need to do serious business.
Yes, sir.
With the Lord.
Amen.
In our closets individually so that we can take the Word of God back out. If we're not serious about it, it won't go on much longer. The pressures are on. Amen. The pressures are really on. All right. I guess I'm about done. I guess Brother Lansing left.
You're it.
I'm still it. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you go in your closet? Do you do these things right here? You don't come out till you're clothed in God's humility? You don't come out till you're right with the Lord? How'd you do last night, really, down there? Beale Street. How'd you do personally last night?
Yep.
Huh? I've had some hard times on Beale Street because I wasn't really right with the Lord when I went down there. And here we have lots of company, amen, lots of support, people to pick you up. But how'd you do? Did you hit your prayer closet this morning? I mean, I know some of you did. But the ones that survive are the ones that are going to maintain that prayer closet. Nobody else is going to make it. We're going back out again today. You think you can go out in your own power?
No, sir.
Do you think you can go out without spending some time with the Lord? Go on your past experience? You might get by in a big crowd of people like this, but you'll be right back in your closet when you go home. God help us, Brother Lansing. God help us to keep this thing going. It's a great thing for Christianity to see. It's a great thing for Leo to see this group of people down in the streets. That's why they oppose you when you're down there. But I say it won't last unless more of us get serious about our closet Christianity. All right, Brother Lansing, I'm done.